Now in a black star-sprinkled sky, a sliver of sunlight crests the Earth. Rays of light shoot off the continents, and a three-dimensional word orbits the planet. Universal. Words appear below. A division of NBC Universal. Now electrons revolve around the nuclei of glowing blue atoms. As we shoot backwards, the particles become spheres blanketed by nebulous clouds. They swirl into the radiant vortex of a spiral galaxy. Words appear from the clouds. Relativity Media. In a third logo, rain pours down as our view sweeps across the word Rogue, stamped on a rectangular metal panel along a wall. Words underneath read, a Relativity Media company. The panel slides open, emitting white light. A web address appears. I am rogue.com. A question asks, are you? Now a pulsing band of blue light spreads across the black screen. It thins into a sliver and fades, leaving behind words. Rogue presents. In a flash of light, more titles crash into view. Behind them, the glowing blue strand flickers as it diffuses. A Hydraulics Entertainment production. Each flash grows in intensity, illuminating starlight specks of light in the background before dissolving into darkness. A transmission production, a Relativity Media production, in association with Rat Entertainment. A Brothers Strauss film. The words fade away, leaving only a black screen. Now our view drifts past skyscrapers, their windows lighting up the nighttime skyline. The glimmering city of Los Angeles sprawls toward the horizon, and dark outlines hint at distant mountains. As our view pivots around a high-rise, a ball of blue-tinted light descends from the sky, leaving behind a luminous, ethereal trail. From the sky, we watch the light plummet toward a street. Our panoramic view shows nearly a dozen similar streaks of light showering down on various parts of the city. One flash lands in a courtyard between two high-rises, where energy billows out from its glowing center. Now a couple lies in bed. The woman stirs and shields her eyes from the brilliant light seeping through the blinds.
Oh, how's it morning already?
She pats the man beside her, who remains asleep, his lips parted and his hands sprawled over his head. Sitting up, the willowy woman slides to the edge of the bed. With a forward lurch, she hurries into an adjacent bathroom. Her reflection on its opaque glass door shows her hunched over the toilet bowl. Still in bed, the man rolls onto his stomach, revealing tattoos along his shoulders. As the willowy woman steps out of the bathroom, she notices light on the other side of the bedroom door. She opens it and peers into a living room, where a figure sleeps on a couch and a shirtless man lies asleep on the rug, their bodies bathed in light that seeps in through the blinds. The woman hurries back to the bed and nudges her companion.
Jared.
She climbs back in beside him, pulling the comforter over her legs.
Jared, wake up!
As the room shakes, he bolts upright.
It's okay.
Jared throws his legs over the side of the bed and pulls on his pants. The woman's gaze darts around the room as it continues to tremble. Jared pauses, his pants still unzipped. His girlfriend squints in the light.
What is that?
No.
Shielding his eyes, he moves to a window and peeks through its blinds. Jared's head jerks toward the living room. He shares a look with his girlfriend.
Stay here.
He rushes into the living room.
What's wrong?
As a young brunette weeps on the couch, a beam of light shines through a window and glows on Jared's face like a spotlight. He stares out at it with mesmerized eyes. Capillaries become visible on his face in a dark, vine-like network.
Jared!
The dark veins appear on his neck and spread down his right arm to his hand.
Jared!
A milky film glazes over his eyes. Light washes over his face and fills the screen. It suddenly fades into the center of a dark background, creating a sun-like source, while a title hovers in front of it, Skyline. In a flash, the light and title recede into the spinning intake of a turbine engine. Our view moves along the side of a plane in flight to reveal the willowy woman staring out a window. Jared sits beside her, bobbing his head as he eyes a notebook in his lap. Words appear 15 hours earlier.
list of choices, please see the last page of your in-flight magazine.
Jared pulls out two photos.
I can't decide. Elaine, you pick the last one.
He holds them up with the picture sides turned away from Elaine. She taps one. With a grin, Jared shows it to her. She reads his notebook.
J-Rock. T-Money.
Oh, no, we were ahead of our time. We're bad.
You haven't changed a bit.
Not as Terry. You'll see. He's the real deal.
Can't wait.
She smiles. Now a black Ferrari convertible speeds past palm trees in the driveway of a luxury high-rise apartment complex. The driver, a beefy man with a buzz cut, climbs out and greets a waiting valet. They shake hands and bump shoulders. Wearing a black muscle shirt and athletic shorts, the beefy guy slings a towel over his shoulder as he enters the building. Now in an apartment, he finishes a phone call.
Yeah, well, you should have thought about that before you shot the piece of shit.
He spots a young woman.
What are you doing here so early?
It's a beautiful day.
Don't I know it.
He ogles her.
Ray called again about the robot sequence.
Now tell him to handle it. No business on my birthday.
He enters a bathroom and finds a blonde wearing a towel.
Hey.
God, does she always have to be here?
She's working. Show this, baby.
He nuzzles her.
You're all sweaty.
As she moves away, he slaps her rear. She smiles. He sets down his towel and starts to take off his shirt. Now our view follows a distant plane as it comes in for a landing at a city airport. Later inside, Jared retrieves luggage from the overhead compartment. Elaine clutches a hand to her mouth. Jared looks over.
You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
They watch a man push in front of a mother with a baby as she reaches for the overhead compartment. Jared helps her.
Here, let me get that for you. Here you go.
Thank you.
No problem.
That's why you're my hero.
He grins. Now in the terminal, he and Elaine spot two drivers waiting near the exit. One of them holds a sign reading, J-Rock.
Yeah, that's us.
The driver takes their suitcase and leads them to a luxury car.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
You better not get used to this.
Excuse me?
With a grin, Jared shifts his eyes over the vehicle, then climbs in. Now an aerial view shows a network of crisscrossing freeways, then follows the car as it cruises down one of them. Our view drifts to the luxury apartment complex, its several high-rises nestled around multiple swimming pools. As Jared and Elaine step out of the car, their eyes sweep up Terry's towering apartment building. Later, they ride in an elevator. Jared glances at a digital counter displaying the floor numbers.
Penthouse.
All right.
Going down.
Come on.
Now Terry answers his door.
How's the second most talented guy I know?
I don't know. How are you?
I'm good.
The two friends embrace.
Happy birthday.
Oh, must be Elaine.
God.
Welcome.
A blender mixes margaritas.
This is amazing.
Automatic living at its finest. My own personal place in the clouds.
The view is incredible.
And let me ask you a question. I'm keeping my boy in line.
Don't answer that.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
It's a full-time job.
Yeah, well, whatever he's paying you, I'll double it.
Oh, well, it looks like you got your hands full already.
Huh? I like it. Yeah. That's your room right there.
You guys want to hit the pool?
Absolutely. Baby! Pool time!
Looking in from a terrace, the blonde stubs out a cigarette. Now in the courtyard, the group walks along a busy poolside patio.
Absolutely. Hold this. Hey, bar is this way.
Jared gazes around as he follows his friend to a poolside bar.
You really did it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just like everybody knew you would, but...
Hey, guys.
A bartender serves shots.
Hello.
Couldn't have done it without you.
What'd I do, decorate the walls?
You do look nice.
They do look nice.
They drink.
Happy birthday, Terry.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to me.
I can't thank you enough for this, man. You know, I'm worried to be getting you a gift.
I
got some ideas on that. Come on.
Each holding a drink, they return to their women. Terry's assistant sits with them.
Everyone's getting along famously.
Elaine forces a polite smile.
Baby?
Yeah?
Where's my Cosmo?
Oh, my bad.
Denise, get me a drink. Anyone else?
No.
Denise shoots the blonde an irritated look as she leaves. Terry and Jared enter a jacuzzi.
Okay, this definitely beats Brooklyn in December.
I don't know. I kind of like having four seasons.
We got one of those down the block. Tomorrow, we're going to hit the high seas. I'm going to take y'all out on my Sunseeker. 67-footer. My starter yacht.
He grins broadly. Elaine and Jared tilt their faces to the sky where five helicopters pass by.
It's Homeland Security. They must be here because they know tonight's party's going to be the ball.
He tries to pull her into the water, then falls back. That night in the penthouse, a well-dressed group clinks champagne flutes.
Oh, hey.
Nice job, man.
How's it going?
Terry,
man,
greets a passing guest, then rests a hand on Jared's shoulder.
That's somebody I want you to meet.
Ray!
A grinning, stubble-faced man embraces Terry.
Happy birthday, boy. Happy birthday, man.
Thank you. How's the robot fight coming along? Oh,
dude, it sucks. But
the director loves it, so, you know.
Hey, is this the boy Wonder?
Yeah.
And his lovely lady.
He looks Elaine up and down.
Hey, it's good to meet you, man.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you too, man.
I'm psyched you're going to join the crew.
Jared's girlfriend gives a surprised look.
I mean, Yeah, no. Hey, did you find a place to live yet? I'm telling you, Venice, it's where it's at.
Oh, no. Right. We'll keep
I live
that in
there,
mind.
So.
Thank you.
Show you around.
I have to go use the little girl's room.
All right.
Excuse me.
No. Babe. Elaine.
Bro. She's smoking. Nice job, dude.
Terry leads Jared away.
What's he talking about? What's going on, ladies? Sorry.
What's that about? Jeez.
Okay, look. Cat's obviously out of the bag. I've been thinking. You should move to L.A.
What am I going to do out here? I mean, I'm barely surviving back home.
I could use you.
Oh, I don't need any charity, all right?
Okay, fine. I need you.
I don't know anything about effects, man.
That's bullshit. Come on, man.
It's not bullshit.
You got the eye and you know it, all right? The computer is just a tool.
I don't know, okay? I never saw myself out here.
Where do you see yourself? You got a five-year plan I don't know about?
Look, it's not about the money, okay?
It's always about the money.
What about LA?
I can't handle everything. You gotta take care of that yourself.
Terry, there's a call for you upstairs.
You think about it.
He follows Denise away, leaving his friend alone on a couch. Warm light from a decorative fire reflects on Jared's thoughtful face. Now an aerial view shows a helipad on the building's roof. In the guest bedroom, Elaine stands at a window, gazing down at the city. Jared enters.
Elaine.
He passes the adjoining bathroom, where the shadows of two people move behind the closed, opaque door.
All right, come on. We're supposed to be having fun. What's the problem?
Just forget it, all right?
Look, Terry sprung this whole California thing on me today, all right? I had no idea. I didn't come
out. I'm late.
What do you mean late?
Late.
The bathroom door opens and Denise bursts out with a camera in hand.
Oh, sorry.
With a quick wave, she hurries out of the bedroom. Jared turns back to Elaine with wide eyes.
Since when?
I don't know. I've been feeling sick all week, so I took a test, and...
Why didn't you tell me?
I wanted to. Believe me, I didn't want to ruin your trip.
You didn't want...
His jaw hangs slack. He shifts his eyes.
Shit.
Is that all you have to say?
What do you want me to say?
Elaine shakes her head.
I don't think I'm ready for this.
You're not ready, Jared? What about me?
That's not... Hey, will you get...
Jared freezes as Terry exits the bathroom, his shirt half-buttoned. Elaine gapes at his lipstick-smeared face. Averting his gaze, Terry steps out of the room.
Is that what we have to look forward to?
With a sickened look, she sweeps past Jared and closes herself in the bathroom.
Lady.
He presses a hand to the closed door. Meanwhile, a telescope's magnified view shows a man sitting on a couch in a living room, his head tilted back ecstatically.
Ready? Here we go. I think we got a live one.
A TV displays the telescope's view.
We have a winner!
The party guests watch as the man on screen receives oral sex from an off-screen partner. Another man sits up beside him. As the two gay men nuzzle tenderly, Ray watches stunned. With a bored look, Terry's blonde girlfriend walks to the door and opens it. In the hall, a man in a cream-colored suit wears a name tag reading Oliver.
Pardon me, ma'am, but we've received a few noise complaints.
From who? The building's half empty.
Yeah, I understand that, but the other half is trying to sleep, so if you don't mind, just...
The blonde condescendingly blows the burly building manager an air kiss as she closes the door on him. With a shake of his head, he turns away and strides down the hall. Later, Ray enters from the terrace.
Another one for the books.
Oh, yeah. He doffs his shirt.
Well.
He faces Denise on the sofa.
I call the couch.
Oh, come on. There's plenty of room for both of us.
I like my space.
Denise nudge kicks him back.
All right. Beggars can't be choosers.
As he lies on the floor, Terry plops on the sofa. Denise grins at him. He taps a button on a touchscreen remote control.
Good night.
Discouraged, the pretty brunette watches him go as power blinds lower over the floor-to-ceiling windows. She sits back and notes Ray, who sleeps on the floor with his feet elevated on the end of the couch. Lying on her side, she brushes hair from her face. Now over a roving view of the Los Angeles skyline, words appear. Day 1, 4:27 a.m. Brilliant balls of light gently descend from the night sky and land throughout the cityscape. We drift over a few city blocks where one of the light sources illuminates the surrounding buildings. Passing over a skyscraper, we find an additional landing point which glows in the center of another busy intersection. Yet another alien light source gleams amid its urban surroundings. More fall from the sky, each trailing evaporative mist. On the ground in a car, a transfixed couple gets out of their vehicle and ambles toward the pallid bluish light and swirling vapors. Inside the penthouse, the infiltrating light gleams between the blinds beside a campy but well-rendered Spiders from Mars poster. In the nearby bed, Jared and Elaine sleep. As the bedroom shutters, Elaine stirs under the covers. In Terry's bedroom, his blonde girlfriend wakes and rolls onto her back.
Earthquake.
Probably just true.
On a cluttered countertop, an empty liquor bottle tips over. Denise lies asleep on the sofa, still lying on the off-white shag rug. Ray wakes and glances around. He notes the glaring light seeping in through the blinds. Sitting up a bit, he checks his watch, then notices Denise, who remains asleep. The scruffy man presses a button on the tabletop universal remote. As the blinds go up, the alien light floods the living room and nearly blanches Ray's silhouette. He looks directly at the source as he rises to his feet. Denise rolls onto her back.
Turn off the lights.
Burgundy-hued capillaries grow pronounced on the skin around Ray's eyes, and his eyeballs glow. In a trance-like state, he approaches the sliding glass door and opens it.
Ray.
Denise sits up.
What are you doing?
Ray steps out onto the terrace. As he ambles toward the nearby light source, another gleams miles away across the city. The pronounced veins spread down his jaw and neck. Before him, at an intersection several blocks away, hundreds of minuscule people approach the light. A bright flash blots out Ray's form.
Ray!
Jared stands at the guest room window. In the master, Terry wakes up. Jared points at Elaine, sitting up in bed.
Stay here.
Entering the living room, he finds Denise.
What's wrong?
He's gone!
As Jared peers at the light, capillaries emerge around his pale eyes. Light glares past his waist, overwhelming our view. The spider web patterning extends down his neck.
Jared,
No.
As he approaches the light, Denise tugs on his arm, but he pushes her off.
Jared, no!
What the hell's going on?
Terry, please, come home!
Terry jumps in front and blocks his friend.
Hey, what's with you, man?
The light goes out and Jared falls on his back.
Jared. Oh, my God, Jared!
As Jared convulses, his milky blue eyes roll back. From his point of view, we erratically glimpse Elaine and Terry as blurry visions.
Jared!
Elaine notices the alien lights outside ascending into the sky.
What's wrong with him?
Elaine looks him over.
Jared!
Oh, my God.
Where's Ray?
Jared!
Where's Ray?
Jared. No! Jared!
Where is he?
He's gone.
What do you mean he's gone?
I mean, he's gone!
Did he fall?
No!
Did he jump?
No!
Elaine kneels over Jared, who strains to breathe.
Please. Ray went outside to the light. And then he just disappeared.
As Jared sits up, Terry goes to the window.
Terry, please.
He steps out onto the terrace and sees more balls of light rising into the sky. Each leaves a faint cloud, which quickly dissipates, his mouth agape. Terry looks at his wounded friend. He comes back in and shuts the door. Denise taps the remote, lowering the blinds. Regaining his faculties, Jared glances aside.
Jared, look at me. What did you see, huh? What did you see?
Jared's eyes widen.
Careful.
As he gets up and paces, Elaine and Terry watch him closely. Denise eyes him over her shoulder. He plants his tattooed arm on a wall for support.
Jared, what happened?
Terry frowns bewilderedly at his old friend.
I was being pulled towards this light.
They all react to the sound. Then Terry steps forward and addresses Denise, who sits alone near a window.
Hey, open the blinds.
No.
Open the blinds!
No!
God!
He crosses to another window and pulls back the blinds to look outside. Jared and Elaine watch him. Daylight reveals a pale haze over the city.
There's something down there.
What?
Jared, check this out.
Jared and Elaine swap a concerned look. His symptoms subsided. The dark-haired young man crosses to the telescope and peers through its eyepiece. Through the lens, Jared scans the hazy city blocks.
I don't see anything.
There are people on the roof.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Jared and Terry share a look.
We should check it out.
You don't know what's out there.
As Terry waits for his friend's response, Jared nods.
You okay? All right.
I'm calling the police.
Jared grabs a camera with a telephoto lens.
I'll try and get some pictures.
You can't go out there.
I can't let him go out there alone.
It just keeps ringing.
Terry returns wearing a tracksuit and loading a pistol.
A gun? Really?
Just check the news and find out what the hell is going on.
Terry.
We'll be right back. Jared.
Look at me.
Jared gently runs a finger down the bridge of Elaine's nose, then kisses her brow.
Let's go.
Hurry back.
Touching foreheads, Jared nods. As he follows Terry out, the three ladies see them off. Now in a hallway, Terry steps out from around a corner with Jared at his side. Crossing the hall, Terry holds his pistol low while Jared carries the camera. They cautiously scan an elevator waiting area, then Terry glances back at his friend. They continue down the stylish hallway toward a piece of modern art on the opposite wall. Terry looks back, then glances fretfully at the walls and ceiling. He peers back the way they came. Jared uneasily scans the corridor, too. As both men focus nervously on the waiting area, Terry backs around a corner. An old man with a dog faces them.
Damn it, Walt.
What's going on?
We're going to check it out.
What are you doing with a gun?
Get back in your apartment. Go. And keep it down.
Walt backs away with his lap dog. Carrie swaps a look with Jared.
Hey. You sure about this?
Carrie goes through a door. Jared glances back around the corner, then follows. In the penthouse, Terry's girlfriend checks a social networking site on her cell phone.
There's been nothing new since 4 a.m. Denise, check the TV.
Denise sets a near-empty glass of wine on the coffee table, then taps the universal remote. As she surfs channels, the flat screen shows an empty newsroom, static, a second unoccupied news desk, then a message from the emergency broadcast system. Elaine stares. On the rooftop, a door opens and Terry leads the way outside with his pistol at the ready. Jared carefully slips out behind him. He peers over the quiet marina.
It's calm.
He readies the camera. The door closes behind them.
Damn it, Jared!
You didn't tell me to hold it open.
Thought it was common sense!
I'm sorry.
Get down.
They crouch with their backs to a wall and scan their surroundings.
What now?
Terry looks upward.
Let's get a better look.
Jared follows him up a staircase. Meanwhile, in the penthouse, Elaine holds a cell phone to her ear.
Hi, this is Jackie. Please leave a message.
Mom, it's me. Something's happened. Pick up. Please, just call me back as soon as you get this.
She glances over her shoulder, then crosses the room and takes a seat with her back to a window. Terry's girlfriend paces, using her cell. She frowns to see Elaine peeking outside from behind the blinds. Back on the roof, Terry and Jared pass through a metal gate to an upper deck. They peer out over the city. As Jared looks around, Terry joins him. They spot a distant group of four people standing on the roof of a neighboring high-rise, then scan the pale, hazy sky. Jared steps forward, surveying a ceiling of storm clouds over the city. Lightning flashes in the distance. As the two men stand vigilantly by, over a half dozen more balls of light descend from the clouds.
Holy shit.
As we drift over a skyscraper, a ball of light falls near and a flash obscures our view. Terry and Jared watch the lights touch down throughout the sprawling city. Each of the landing points flashes, and their intensity causes both Terry and Jared to recoil. One burst very near subsides, allowing them to see each of the light sources, which now shine upward. Jared snaps photos. Through his viewfinder, we zoom in on one of the points to spot an explosive plume of smoke rising above it.
I can't see. Is that what I think it is?
Multitudes of people rise from the smoke. A shocked Jared lowers the camera.
Oh my God.
Over each column of light, a massive spaceship descends from the clouds and hovers over the city. Terry gapes at the awesome display. Underneath each giant insect-like ship, a widening blanket of smoke and debris spreads outward on the ground. More balls of light touch down throughout the city. Up in the air, hundreds of human bodies rise toward a UFO, drifting past huge metallic talons that protrude from its underside. Jared and Terry watch the nearest aircraft. Its colossal beetle-shaped body features many loop protrusions. Upswelling smoke envelops the four humans on the adjacent rooftop. Jared and Terry hurry down from the upper deck helipad and yank on the locked door's handle.
Come on, fool! Back up! Back up!
Terry aims his gun. They try the handle again. A smaller alien craft passes nearby, trailing tentacles. As they yank on the handle, the alien light shines on their backs. The door opens from inside, and Elaine looks into the light.
Elaine! No!
Awash in the brilliant beam, she remains transfixed until Jared pulls her inside. The door shuts, cut to black. Now Terry bursts into the penthouse, followed by Jared, who carries Elaine in his arms.
Move! Move!
He lays her down on the sofa. Capillaries web around her eyes.
Baby, are you okay?
I feel like I'm on fire.
Come on.
Come on, baby. I'm right here.
As her eyes roll back, Denise wraps an ice pack in a rag.
Give me a Jackson.
Jared holds it to Elaine's brow. As her symptoms subside, she looks at her boyfriend. He leans over her and gently braces her head. Elaine sits up and nods. Sitting beside her, Jared lifts her brown hair and presses the ice pack to the back of her neck.
You looked too.
She touches a web of blood vessels on his shoulder. Jared shakes his head. She glances at his shoulder, then gazes off. Now we drift over the luxury high-rises and their empty helicopter landing pads. In the penthouse, the group reviews Jared's photos on the camera's display.
Oh, my God.
Terry's girlfriend takes the camera from Denise.
All those people.
As the blonde flips through the photos, Terry shakes his head. Denise glances pointedly at the camera.
What do they want with him?
I'm not looking to find out.
God, I can't believe this. I mean, how?
Once you look at the light, it grabs hold. And it's like a...
It controls you. I mean, who wouldn't want to look at something so beautiful? It's kind of brilliant, actually.
Enough of this shit. I got an idea.
Where are you going?
Walt.
Terry.
What for? Don't worry about him.
Terry.
Everything's under control.
He hurries out. Jared and Denise watch him go. Still holding the camera, Terry's girlfriend glimpses a photo, then looks up from the display with a dour expression. Now Jared enters the guest room, shuts the door, and stands with his back to a wall. His chest heaves and he winces. He lifts his sleeveless undershirt to find a faint web of capillaries over his ribs. Elaine enters.
Are you okay?
Yes, Ellie.
Let me see.
I said it's nothing.
All right.
Put off, she backs out of the room and shuts the door. Jared leans against the wall again and looks up at the ceiling. He casts his gaze downward and cradles his ribs. Now Terry cautiously approaches a closed apartment door. As he lifts his hand to knock, he shoots an anxious glance over his shoulder.
Walt.
He tries the handle. With a determined frown, he sets his stance, then rams the door with his shoulder. It opens easily, and Terry shifts his surprised gaze. He peers inside.
Yo. Walt. Walt.
Aiming his gun upward by his shoulder, he slowly moves inside.
Walt. Are you in here?
He steps into an open kitchen separated from the rest of the apartment by a low island countertop. Outside the full-length windows, a wind chime flutters in the breeze. Relaxing his arms, Terry notices a Mercedes keychain and a small dish on the counter. As he takes it out, the old man and his dog pop out from hiding. Terry aims his gun, then quickly lowers it.
What the hell are you doing? Hiding? I saw the people in the sky like the goddamn rapture. Come on. We're taking your car and we're getting the hell out of here. Let's go. I'm not going out there. Get down! Get down!
They duck behind the island. Walt hugs the dog to his chest.
Shut the dog up!
Walt clasps his hand around the little dog's snout. A squid-like alien, the size of a car, hovers outside the windows. Inside, the two hiding humans shift tensely as the alien's blue light passes around the room. Terry repositions himself in a crouch and checks his weapon. He takes a few steadying breaths, then lifts his head to peek over a stovetop. He glimpses the alien and quickly crouches back down. Walt's dog licks his fingers. Hovering at the balcony, the alien uses its long, glow-eyed head to push the sliding door open. Terry crawls to the end of the counter and peers around the corner. He sees two long tentacles and ducks back.
Shh.
A pair of probing tentacles, each with brilliant blue light agleam at its tip, wind their way through the airy apartment. As they reach the kitchen island, the men's faces tense anxiously. One tentacle glides over the countertop just behind their heads. Terry and Walt flinch. The tentacles turn away. Terry peeks around the corner again and sees the alien creep toward a mirrored wet bar. Perceiving its reflection, the tentacle shatters a half dozen wine bottles. The dog bolts. Walt chases it. Terry dives to grab Walt, but he's too late. He rises, watching aghast as the beast meticulously tends to its prey. As Walt's legs are swallowed out of sight, Terry fires his gun, then makes a run for it. In the penthouse, Terry's girlfriend scrolls through pictures on Jared's digital camera. She sees images of Terry and Denise in a passionate embrace. Denise walks in and the scorned girlfriend glares. Denise and Elaine jump. Jared comes out of the bathroom.
Did you hear that?
Terry bursts in and locks the door behind him. Jared follows him through the apartment.
What's up?
Talk to me.
We're getting on my bone. We're getting out of here.
What happened?
They took Walt.
What do you think of Walt? What are you talking about?
This one was different. It came in the building and it just snatched him.
Then we should just go.
Hold on a sec. Am I the only one who saw those photos? That's all happening right outside, right now. They're everywhere.
No, they're not everywhere. They're not over the water.
That's right.
Yeah, well, it didn't take them very long to find you on the roof.
We can drive there in 2 minutes.
You have no idea what they're capable of.
Elaine, I know you're scared, okay? We're all scared. But I'm not burying my head in the sand and hoping this goes away.
I'm not saying that.
Hey, look, just take it easy, man.
There's nothing easy about this,
Jared. I understand,
but you're in the fucking building!
The blinds start to rise.
Terry, this is a timer.
Denise steps toward the window. They all gape. Just blocks away, two alien ships hover above huge, upswelling clouds.
Shit!
Go, go, go!
Terry pulls his girlfriend behind a wall, while Jared and Elaine retreat behind a counter. Outside, one of the squid-shaped flying aliens glides toward the apartment, its stringy tentacles flowing behind it. A beam of light shines from the tip of its head, giving the appearance of a nose under two glowing eyes. As its light scans inside the apartment, Terry pins his girlfriend protectively against the wall. Denise peeks out from behind a couch, then ducks as the light drifts toward her. Hiding behind the kitchen counter, Jared squeezes his eyes shut and clenches his jaw. Elaine crouches beside him, and he shelters her head with his hand as the piercing light skims over the countertop. Outside, the alien gracefully turns its hulking body away from the apartment. Terry watches it leave, then rushes to a wall-mounted touchscreen. The blinds descend. Jared and Elaine rise from behind the counter, their eyes wide. Terry leans in to kiss his girlfriend, and she shoves him back.
You're disgusting.
What the hell is the matter with you?
His girlfriend shoots a look at Denise, who sits on the floor with a dazed expression. Terry follows her gaze, then nods.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we will talk about that.
As he moves away, she stares after him with a fierce gaze, then presses her lips together, stifling a sob. Terry watches the descending blinds, then faces Elaine.
Still want to stay?
I don't want any of this. But it didn't see us or hear us. So if we stay here and stay quiet?
For how long? They're taking people out there, plain and simple. The further we get out of the city, the better off we are.
He's right.
Jared.
If we get to the boat, we have a chance.
Yeah, but we don't.
We have to.
Avoiding her gaze, he sets his jaw, then locks his eyes on hers.
We have to try.
Get your stuff. Pack food and water. Let's do this.
Letting his determined gaze linger on Elaine, Jared hurries off. She watches after him for a moment, then shifts her eyes, her lips trembling. Now in the hall, Terry rapidly presses an elevator call button. The five shuffle into the elevator car. As it descends, Terry's girlfriend brushes a wisp of blonde hair away from her frightened face. Now the elevator opens into a garage. Terry peeks out, his gun drawn. He creeps forward with the others close behind and peers around a corner into the deserted parking structure.
All right, come on. Look, the sooner I get there, the sooner the boat's ready to go.
Right here.
Terry's girlfriend takes the keys.
Hey. Come on, let's go.
What? What are you doing?
Driving. I know the way. Why don't you take your slut?
Candace.
The blonde hurries to a car.
Candace.
Denise gives Terry an unsure look.
Get in the car.
As Candace, Jared, and Elaine climb into a black Mercedes, Denise joins Terry in his convertible Ferrari. She eyes him tearfully.
Terry, I'm sorry.
He meets her pleading gaze, then turns away with a regretful look and starts the car. Watching over his shoulder, Terry backs out of his parking spot, then speeds down a driving lane. At a T-junction, he screeches to a halt and eyes Candace, whose car waits in the lane that dead-ends into his. With an unforgiving look, she shakes her head, then turns her face away. Terry drives on, leading the Mercedes up a ramp. On the next level, the vehicles stop in front of a closed gate and wait as it slowly slides open. Elsewhere in the garage, a frantic couple carries luggage to an SUV.
What do you think I'm doing?
Meanwhile, the Ferrari and the Mercedes pass through the open gate. Jared spots the couple.
Hey, slow down.
No.
Just stop.
He rolls down his window.
You need any help?
No.
Just go. We're fine.
Yeah, but maybe you
enough,
can help
all right?
Us.
I said we're fine.
As Candace drives off, the dark-haired wife stares after the Mercedes. In the back seat, Elaine shifts her eyes nervously. The Ferrari approaches a gate leading to the outside, and it starts to slide open. Candace waits as Terry's vehicle passes through. As the Ferrari pulls out of the driveway, a giant alien fist crushes it. The creature, towering at around 100 feet, lifts the car, then smashes it on the ground. Terry falls out. Grabbing his gun, he rolls onto his back and fires at the alien. The creature swipes the Ferrari aside, then extends a clawed hand. Terry rolls away, then struggles to his feet. Terry stumbles. Jared races forward and grabs him. As he pulls him back toward the Mercedes, tentacles shoot out of the alien's palm, wrapping around Terry's body. They retract and Jared loses his grip. The alien's claws curl inward, pushing Terry into a mouth in its palm.
Jared! Get your ass back in here now!
As the tentacles shoot again, Jared climbs into the car. The tentacles hit the windshield and Candace throws the vehicle in reverse. They pass the couple at their SUV. Candace shifts the Mercedes into drive, then speeds around a corner to a closed gate. She pushes a remote.
Come on! Come on!
Jared and Elaine glance out the back windshield. The electronic gate in front of them begins to slide along its track.
Open! Oh, shit!
Come on!
Open! God!
Come on.
They watch as the gate's wheels trundle along the metal track.
Open, you piece of shit!
An alien approaches from the other side of the opening gate. Candace shifts into reverse. Speeding past the couple by the SUV, she hits a parked car. Elaine's window shatters and glass shards rain into the car. Her body jerks forward. Meanwhile, Jen's husband walks toward the alien, his eyes fixed on its glowing light. His skin darkens as veins spread across his face and his eyes glaze over. The alien grabs him. As Jen races to the crashed Mercedes, the others spot the oncoming alien. They run. Candace leads them to a door. It's locked.
Candace, where's the key? Candace, the key! Do the key!
Walking on its tentacles, the octopus-like alien closes in. Jared faces its light, and his eyes glaze over. As he walks toward it, an SUV smashes it against a wall. The alien's light blinks out, and Jared falls back, his eyes now clear and brown, and the veins on his face fading. Smoke wafts around the mangled alien, whose tentacles move feebly. One of the SUV doors opens, and Oliver steps out. He stares at the creature crushed under the vehicle's front wheels, then turns to the others. Elaine presses a hand to Jared's recovering face.
You all right?
I'm okay. Oh, my God.
Jen approaches the alien.
Oh, my God.
Well, miss, we have to go.
No,
a figure crawls out of the alien.
He's alive! Call him!
She rushes to her struggling husband.
Call me!
Black slime covers Colin. They grab his arms. The alien stirs as they drag Colin out of it. Candace gapes, and Elaine takes a step back. A thick tentacle plunges down, grabbing Colin by the head. It lifts him off his feet. As veins cover Colin's face, Oliver grabs Jen. He pulls her over to the others, who cower by the door. A light around Colin's head grows brighter, then flashes. Colin's body drops, and the alien now holds his brain. Oliver ushers everyone into a stairwell. The alien releases a brain from between two lip-like flaps, then sets Colin's brain inside. As its lips clasp around it in a sucking motion, the alien rises on its tentacles in the stairwell.
Make for the back door.
Oliver waves them up a staircase, and they emerge in the courtyard. They freeze as the giant alien turns and focuses its eye lights on them. Saliva drips from its mouth. In slow motion, Candace rounds a corner onto the pool patio. As Jared sprints behind her, he reaches back and takes Elaine's hand. The alien stomps closer. It opens its clawed hand. A tentacle grabs Jen's back as she runs behind the others. In front of her, Oliver turns in time to see three more tentacles grab hold, then retract with Jen in their clutches. Oliver stares briefly, then races to join the others. The alien pushes Jen into the mouth in its palm. Candace leads them to a lower patio level. They stop behind a wall as two tentacles reach out for them on either side, then whip back again.
Go!
They start to run, but a foot crashes down in front of them. Cowering, they watch as the alien stomps past. An aerial view shows it climbing over the pool. They race away from it, then freeze as another giant alien steps into view. Oliver leads them to a door into the building. As he fumbles with his keys, one of the aliens starts toward them. Oliver slams his body against the door, but it remains closed.
Get it open! Back up! Open it!
He breaks its window with his elbow, then reaches through and unlocks the door. They sprint inside. The alien slams its head against the high-rise, shattering windows. Now the survivors enter a stairwell.
Where are we going? All the way to the top is the safest place I can think of.
No, we were just up there.
You want to stay down here with them? Be my guest. Let's go.
They all race upstairs. At the top floor, Oliver opens the door to the penthouse.
Come on, quickly.
He ushers everyone inside and looks through the peephole. Jared leans against a wall, then heads into the kitchen where Candace sits at the counter. Further down, Elaine leans a hand on it, her chest heaving. Turning on the sink, Jared splashes his face. Candace presses her hands to her lips. A tear shimmers on her cheek. Stepping into the living room, Oliver glances around. He spots the telescope, which sits by a window, and strides over. He parts the blinds, points the telescope outside, and looks into its viewfinder. Through it, he sees two giant aliens roaming a few damaged city blocks. Two large alien crafts hover in the air, while smaller ones zip around them. At the kitchen sink, Jared bows his head. Elaine places a hand on his trembling back. He slams his arm against the sink. Behind him, Candace's face distorts with sobs. Oliver hurries over to Jared.
Hey, come help me with this.
He leads him into an adjacent room. Elaine sits at the counter beside Candace. Now Jared and Oliver slide a washing machine against the apartment's double doors. Oliver glances at Jared.
It's better than nothing, right?
Jared turns away.
Yeah, if you say so.
Oliver pushes him against the wall.
What are you doing, huh? Like it or not, this is happening. You gotta be strong.
Holding Jared's gaze, he cocks his head. The younger man nods, and Oliver releases him. Jared bows his head, his chest heaving, in the kitchen.
Is everybody okay?
Candace gives him an appalled look.
Are you hurt?
No. I'm okay.
Jared joins them. Leaning against a wall, he glances toward the windows, then shifts his gaze to Oliver.
What now? We stay here. We keep watch, and we pray that someone comes.
He's right. Someone's gonna come. This can't go on forever.
Oliver meets her gaze.
Right?
She stares at him uneasily, then turns to Candace, who lights a cigarette. As the blonde puffs out smoke, Elaine gets up and starts to leave.
Elaine. Sweetie, it's best if we stay together.
I can't. The smoke.
Given the circumstances, I think a smoke is more than reasonable.
Candace.
Elaine glares at the blonde.
I'm pregnant, all right?
Her eyes brim with tears.
And I just thought that between all the stress...
Jared wraps his arms around her, holding her head against his chest.
It's okay.
He strokes her hair. Elaine lifts her gaze to his.
I never even got to tell my mom.
Looking down at her, Jared holds her face in his hands. She bows her head again, grimacing. With tears in her eyes, Candace stubs her cigarette out in an empty shot glass. Oliver watches her.
Come on, boss. Let's let the girls get some sleep. You and I will keep watch. Come on.
Jared furrows his brow.
Both of us? They try that light stuff, we got each other's back.
He gives a firm look and Jared nods, his hand still holding Elaine's head. With an anguished expression, Candace lies down on one part of an L-shaped sectional. Elaine sits on the other part, her eyes trailing after Jared as he leaves the room. Pulling a blanket over her, she lies down, settling her head on a cushy pillow. She blinks wearily. Nighttime. Our view drifts over a city block to a deserted but still electrified intersection. A smoky haze hangs above the well-lit roads and buildings. Later, while Oliver peers through the telescope, Jared flips through his sketchbook. Now Oliver slouches, dropping a hand from his weary head.
I haven't seen a soul all night.
Maybe the worst is over.
Maybe not.
What do you think those things really are?
I don't know. Does it even matter?
It just doesn't seem real.
Oliver eyes the younger man, then glowers at him.
Well, it is real. And you better wake up.
What's that supposed to mean?
The city's a vacant lot. We need to survive. There's not going to be many of us left.
Jared glances at him, then stares off. He looks up. Elaine wakes. As Oliver peers through the telescope, Jared joins him at the window. Candace sits up.
Let me see.
Oliver spots a tentacled creature chasing a Humvee.
Somebody's fighting back.
Jared leaves the window and crosses past Elaine.
What are you doing?
I want to see what's out there.
He turns on the flat screen, which shows the live feed captured by the telescope. A four-limbed alien, built vaguely like an ape, lopes after the vehicle. From the truck's bed, a rebel fires multiple rounds. The giant swats the truck into a building.
Turn that off. It's too bright.
No.
We can't risk it.
As Jared continues to watch the carnage on screen, Elaine shuts off the television. He shoots her a look. With the telescope, Oliver watches the giant chase a gunman on foot through a parking lot. The creature's frame is four times the size of an average car, and more than eight eyes glow blue on its flat face. Oliver adjusts the telescope to view a distant ship hovering in the sky. He looks up from the eyepiece and shifts his stance broodingly. Jared gets up from the sofa, and Elaine peers after him. Oliver takes a seat and rubs his face. Now in fast motion, palm tree fronds flutter as the sun rises in a lavender sky. A view shows two of the colossal ships hovering over the now darkened city. Words appear in a flash, day two. They underline the horizon's sickly orange light. In the penthouse, Jared sits on the floor at Elaine's side as she sleeps on the sofa. She stirs awake.
Did you sleep at all?
As Jared quietly stares at the palm of his left hand, she sits up.
Is it getting worse?
He hides his palm.
What?
The marks on your skin. Now, when I looked in that light, I couldn't stand for 10 minutes. Who knows what it did to us?
She nervously hugs her knees close.
To our bodies.
As Jared turns to her, he notes Oliver staring at him from across the room. The goateed man resumes peering through the telescope.
You remember that first moment when you saw it, when it completely took over? Somehow you still felt.
Oliver eyes him again.
Powerful.
Jared studies the back of his left hand.
I still do.
He makes a fist. Now, as we pan slowly across the penthouse, the survivors pass the time, moving in fast motion. The flitting glimpses of activity reveal Jared dousing a matchbook in a spent martini, Elaine reading a magazine, Oliver and Jared pacing, leaning, sitting. Candace cycles through positions on an armchair and shuffles cards. Idle conversations come together and break up. Later, standing over a toilet, Jared finishes up and tries to flush. He tries a sink faucet. Nothing comes out. Looking in the mirror, he notices a thick patch of darkened capillaries between his pectorals. He presses on his skin with his thumb. Examining his face, he touches a small dark spot over his left cheekbone. Jared hangs his head and leans on the sink. He looks himself in the eyes. Now donning his gray t-shirt, he steps out. In the living room, an agitated Jared walks past Elaine, who sits on the rug by an ottoman. She watches him pace near the windowed corner of the room.
Why don't you take a seat? Relax.
Oliver grabs a throw pillow from the floor, then sits on a thin cushioned leather couch where Candace lies on her side. He eyes the restless younger man.
All right, I'll bite. What's your plan, boss? Because I know you're dying to tell me. Nothing to say.
We're sitting on a marina, for Christ's sakes.
I've noticed that.
And there are hundreds of boats right across the street.
We've been through all this.
Remind us how that worked out last time.
Jared paces, thumbing the back of his neck.
We go quietly this time.
And search every boat till we find the key?
We have to.
Great plan, John.
I can't believe you'd even suggest that after what happened.
You made it sound like it was my fault.
I was practically begging. But you wouldn't listen.
And you think Terry would have listened to me?
Elaine walks away.
All right. Let's say we make it out of the building. Across the marina, down the dock. We even find a boat and everything, then what?
And then we get the hell out of Dodge.
Where to? Carolina, down the coast?
Anywhere is better than here.
How do you know? We're here. We're alive.
What was that?
Oliver peers through the telescope.
What do you see?
Jared hops the sofa for the universal remote. On the flat screen, they watch fighter jets and drones soaring through the sky.
Hallelujah.
Now the incoming jets fly over Los Angeles. Oliver pans the telescope across the squadrons of planes to an alien ship, which ignites a huge bright light at its center. Dozens of tentacled alien craft shoot out from the mothership and fly toward the arriving defenders. We follow the warplanes as they approach the ship. Jared and the others spot stealth bombers among the fleet. A missile takes out an alien aircraft, then more crafts explode around the planes. One of two stealth bombers gets taken out, but its partner flies on, swiveling nimbly to avoid the oncoming alien fighters. Seen from a distance, the dogfight peppers the sky with tiny explosions and swooping craft. Oliver's telescopic view tracks the tenacious stealth bomber, which outruns an alien pursuer. He glances up from the eyepiece while the others watch on the flat screen. As the stealth bomber soars across the sky, its pursuer explodes. The bomber twirls between two oncoming alien craft. Jared gapes at the flat screen, leaning in eagerly as the stealth bomber weaves toward the mothership. The warhead hatch on its underside opens.
Come on.
Come on. Come on.
Candace covers her mouth. With a damaged right wing, the bomber manages to fire its missile, then gets destroyed by an alien craft. Through the telescope, Oliver follows the missile's trajectory into the spaceship. A white-hot flash blanches our view. He covers his eyes.
Everybody get down!
They all dive to the floor while the building trembles. The searing white flash blots out our view of the city. Light floods the penthouse. Outside, an aerial view orbits the seemingly unbounded blast, which fills the horizon. Inside the penthouse, Elaine lies on the floor and Candace looks around.
Lainey?
Jared crawls around a couch, shielding his eyes with his hand. He helps Elaine to her feet. Candace and Oliver get up too. They approach the windows to get a better look. The view outside shows the expansive white blast cloud skirted on the ground by billowing smoke and dust. Jared gapes at the astounding sight. As the massive light decreases in intensity, the struck spaceship emerges from the blast cloud. Trailing smoke and covered in embers, the humongous ship lists as it careens downward into the outlying city grid. As the frontmost armored plating buckles and crumples, shafts of blue light leak from within the hull, then die out. Oliver, Elaine, and Jared gawk as the ship grinds to a halt, churning up black smoke. Oliver peers through the telescope to inspect the blackened hull. He looks up from the eyepiece, then glances at his companions.
It worked.
As Elaine takes a look, Jared sighs. Elaine hugs Oliver.
I don't believe it. Is it over?
It worked. It worked.
You mind?
By all means, boss.
Jared joins Elaine by the telescope. He peers through the eyepiece to view the wreck.
Do you think there are more planes where they came from?
Yes. Now they know what to do. They'll be sending help in no time.
Through the telescope, Jared sees pale blue light swarm from the wreck like bees over a fallen hive. As he lifts his uneasy gaze, Elaine notes his troubled expression.
What? What is it?
They're not dead. They're just really, really pissed off.
The alien crafts disperse from the wreck, flying out over the city. Oliver goes to the telescope for a look. The tentacled crafts and more four-limbed creatures escape from the downed ship's glowing aperture. Oliver looks up, disheartened. On the fallen mothership, collapsed parts begin to rise up from the smoky ground.
Something is happening.
The craft's parts and debris rise and reassemble as the pale blue light glows renewed within the regenerating hull. Oliver looks up from the eyepiece and scans the windows.
We have to cover these windows.
He taps Jared.
Come help me with this.
Jared storms off.
Get back over here!
Look, I'll find something!
Oliver observes Jared searching the kitchen.
Here!
Candace brings Oliver a black sheet. Jared enters the guest room and stuffs clothes into a black garbage bag.
Jared, what are you doing?
Only thing we can do.
Elaine follows him out. As Oliver and Candace tape the sheet up over the window, Jared grabs energy drinks from a refrigerator.
What's this really about, huh?
Those things are coming for us.
You think I haven't noticed that mess under your shirt? We stay here and hold up for good.
Elaine heads Jared off.
I agree.
But now he gets to decide everything. We have no water.
No power.
Yeah, but you saw what's out there.
Yeah, and I would rather make a run for it than stay in a 20-story Target. Between those things and the radiation, we are dead up here.
Elaine looks around. Jared rushes to a window and spots a military chopper as it lands on the neighboring tower's helipad. Three soldiers take up positions. Oliver grabs Jared.
Get off me! What the hell do you think you're doing?
We have to let him know that we're here.
We'll let everything know.
I've been saying to wait for help.
Well, help is here. Does that look like a rescue chopper to you?
Don't you get it?
We're at war.
Where are they going?
The chopper takes off. Jared faces Elaine.
Those choppers are coming back for them. We have to go. Come on.
The helicopter flies away from the high rise. Now Jared leads Elaine aside.
If we get to the roof, they'll pick us up.
What if they don't come back?
Elaine.
Look what happened to those planes. What good is a helicopter?
We have to take a chance.
A chance? They just nuked the city. And you want to wave hello?
Seriously, you need to back off.
The taped up bedsheet falls.
Oh, shit.
You're just going to stand there?
What happens when the rest of the blinds fall? I mean, we don't exactly have enough bedsheets.
Jared pleads with Elaine.
Come on.
How can you be so sure?
Let's just go.
You're in no condition to decide anything. And who knows what side you're on?
I'm warning you.
Oliver backhands him. The capillary pattern flares around Jared's suddenly milky eyes.
He's sick.
Don't make me hurt you.
Oh, don't worry.
Oliver punches him. On a second strike, Jared catches Oliver's wrist, grabs his throat, and shoves him against a wall. He lifts the heavy man off his feet.
I am not leaving here without my family.
He lets him go.
And there is nothing that you can do to stop us.
Candace goes to Oliver's aid.
Lainey, you have to trust me.
He reaches for her, but she backs away. As his symptoms fade away, Jared looks at his girlfriend innocently.
It's me.
A nervous Elaine stares at him, breathing heavily. Jared steps closer.
It's still me.
He gently runs a finger down the bridge of her nose, then caresses her cheek and neck. Jared embraces Elaine and presses his forehead to hers.
We have to go.
She nods. He takes her hand and they leave. A fearful Candace eyes Oliver.
He's gonna get her killed.
Come on.
Together, they put the black sheet back up over the exposed window. Now Jared and Elaine climb the stairwell hand in hand. They pause, glancing up. Jared leads his girlfriend onward. Later, he breaks a fire axe's glass case and retrieves the heavy tool.
Come on.
He pushes open the rooftop door. Peeking out, he and Elaine spy a helicopter swooping over the marina as buildings below billow columns of smoke. Jared props the door open with a brick.
All right, let's go.
Holding Elaine's hand, Jared leads her through a network of pipes, pillars, and ventilation shafts. He takes cover and peeks out at the now hovering ship. Large chunks of debris float toward the nearly reconstructed craft. Keeping a hand on Jared's shoulder, Elaine anxiously turns.
Do you see anyone?
Venturing out slightly, Jared finds three soldiers posted on the neighboring roof.
Right there.
Elaine allows a faint, hopeful smile as he leads her out toward the rooftop's edge.
Hey!
Hey!
Help!
Help us!
Don't move!
Don't move!
No, wait! We need help! Please!
Jared glances anxiously at his girlfriend. In the penthouse, Candace uses the telescope and sees the soldiers shouting at Jared and Elaine. She pans left, her view sweeping over the city's smoking remains. A light appears in the sky. Halfway down the telescope, Candace's hand rests on the housing. Dark capillaries emerge on her manicured fingers. Fixed to the spot, Candace trembles. The fingers clutching the eyepiece darken as well, and a web-like network blossoms over her face. Candace lifts her head. In the bathroom, Oliver stands at the sink. He stares gravely at his reflection. At the window, Candace rips the bedsheet down. Turning, she faces a tentacled creature floating outside. As Oliver leaves the bathroom, Candace slides the balcony door open and steps out. As Oliver rushes forward, the creature snatches Candace.
No!
It swallows her whole. As her kicking legs vanish inside its mouth, fire erupts unnaturally from it. Oliver backs into the apartment. The flames climb higher than the roof where Jared and Elaine huddle. A soldier across the way relaxes the aim of a rocket launcher. Oliver ventures back onto the balcony. A military helicopter approaches from the marina. Jared leads Elaine toward the helipad. Three tentacles latch onto the helicopter. The aircraft strains against their grasp. The tentacles stretch across the sky to a 100-foot alien climbing onto the neighboring roof. A soldier at its feet readies a missile launcher. From the faltering helicopter, a soldier fires his weapon erratically. The rooftop soldier blows a hole in the alien. Under the rifle fire of another, the alien falls, pulling the helicopter with it. The tentacles release, sending the helicopter into the high-rise. Jared and Elaine hit the deck as its detached blade spins overhead. The aircraft's body plunges through a glass ceiling and explodes. The fiery blast blossoms over the pool area. On the roof, Jared fearfully scans the sky. Below, Oliver looks to the reconstructing ship. A force jostles the building. Holding onto the balcony railing, Oliver peers over the side and finds the 100-foot alien getting to its feet. It looks up at him with brightly shining eyes. Oliver backs into the penthouse and shifts his desperate gaze. He marches toward the kitchen. Outside, Jared takes Elaine's hand and leads her at a run to the roof's far edge. The couple gazes out. Fireballs pop up over the marina as military jets battle with alien fighters. A human plane darts low overhead, trailed closely by an enemy. Jared shifts his searching gaze. They race to the door and find one of the octopus-like aliens climbing the stairs. They start to flee, but a tentacle darts out and wraps around Elaine's waist. As it pins her to the door, Jared tries to pry it off. He hacks it off with the axe. It writhes as it lands, and Jared slams the door shut.
Go, go, go.
As he ushers Elaine away, the alien bursts out through the door. The couple flees to the other side of the utility structure and takes cover. The alien reattaches its severed limb, and the damaged tissue completely regenerates. Holding Elaine behind him, Jared stands ready with the axe. Glancing about, he spies an electronically controlled scaffold at the roof's edge.
Scaffolding. It's the only way down. Come on, go.
As Elaine rushes toward it, Jared lingers behind, standing guard with the axe. The pregnant woman climbs into the scaffold's metal basket. Below, the penthouse jostles in a slow, steady rhythm. In the kitchen, Oliver stands at the stove, facing the windows. He turns a knob, and the air above a burner ripples with escaping gas. His gaze locked on the windows, Oliver kisses a cross hanging around his neck. He takes a cigarette from a nearby pack and places it between his lips with a stoic gaze. On the rooftop.
Come on.
Elaine struggles with the scaffold controls. She pauses, her jaw slack. As Jared gazes toward the utility structure, a tentacle lowers into view behind him. Its octopus-like owner touches down, its vertical slit of a mouth shuddering hungrily. Turning, Jared swings wildly at it with his axe. As Elaine climbs out of the scaffold, the creature punches Jared, then plunges a tentacle into his inner thigh.
Lady, run!
The tentacle releases him, and he falls face down on the concrete. In the penthouse kitchen, the air shimmers with flowing gas. A wedding ring gleams on Oliver's finger as he picks up a silver lighter and holds it up before his gravely scowling face. Beyond him, a painting of a World War II-era Japanese pilot sharpens into focus. Several of the blinds fall. As the alien arrives on the terrace, Oliver flicks the lighter. He frowns and tries again to no avail. The creature plunges its claw through the window. Oliver drops to the floor, taking cover. On the roof, the smaller alien's claw grabs Jared by his head and hauls him to his feet. Hair-like tendrils extend from the claw and inject themselves into his face. As light shines from the appendage with mounting intensity, Jared plants his feet. His swollen capillaries darken his face, and his eyes glaze over as he glares into the creature's eyes. The flailing alien collapses, revealing Elaine behind it. She yanks the axe from its body, taking a glowing human brain and spinal column with it. Gagging, she hurls it aside. In the penthouse, the alien's giant claw sweeps through the living room as Oliver spots the fallen lighter. Crawling out from hiding, he grabs for it. His fingertip knocks it out of reach. A tentacle grabs him by the leg and drags him across the floor. Grabbing the counter's edge, he takes up a chef's knife. Oliver rolls onto his back and stabs the tentacle relentlessly. A bullet severs another. From a neighboring rooftop, soldiers fire on the giant alien. In the penthouse, the tentacle holding Oliver releases him. Turning on the soldiers, the creature knocks them off the roof. Oliver scrambles toward the kitchen on all fours. As he grabs the lighter, the alien impales him with a claw. Lifting his head, he sees a fleshy ball-shaped organ shifting within a gaping orange glowing socket. Oliver winces painfully, his thumb on the lighter switch. The strange organ tilts its compound eyes curiously.
Vaya con Dios, you son of a bitch.
The lighter ignites and a fireball fills the space. The explosion blasts out the windows, its flames reaching several stories. On the roof, Elaine turns. The alien pounces on her.
Help me! Help me!
Lying behind it, Jared lifts his head.
Help me!
Through his glazed-over eyes, he recognizes Elaine struggling beneath the creature. Jared trembles with effort and bares his gritted teeth as he pushes himself to his feet. With a wrathful sneer, he charges at the alien and tackles it. He grabs a cinder block and brings it down repeatedly on the creature's head. Black, viscous fluid splatters outward as the hard cranium caves in. With an impassioned swing, Jared falls and drops the cinder block. He quickly rights himself and pounds the alien's face with his fists. As Elaine watches helplessly, her partner splits the alien's head open from mouth to crown. Reaching inside, he tears out chunks of flesh by the handful. He wearily slaps the creature, his cheeks puffing as he exhales through gritted teeth. Beside him, Elaine sits up, her arms and chest smeared with black goo. She lays a gentle hand on Jared's shoulder.
Jared.
He flinches.
Look at me. Look at me, Jared.
She turns his face to hers. As she holds his gaze, he lifts a trembling hand and traces a finger down the bridge of her nose. She nods, then helps him to his feet.
Gotta get up. Come on.
With Jared's arm over her shoulders, she helps him limp toward the scaffold. As they reach it, a giant set of claws grasps the roof's edge. The couple backs away as an alien peers over the roof. Dark smoke billows from its smoldering body, and embers glow on its skin. As Elaine and Jared race in the other direction, they spot another alien on the opposite side of the roof. Trapped between the two, they duck around a corner and hide behind a wall. The charred alien finds them. It reaches for them, then withdraws as a jet's bullets hit it.
His only chance.
They head up a staircase marked with a sign, to helipad. Reaching the top, they see jets and alien craft soaring through the air above. As Elaine helps Jared hobble to the center of the helipad, the smoldering alien's head rises to their level. Jared throws Elaine to the ground and covers her as a jet soars toward them. It fires at the smoldering alien, knocking it backwards. Smoke billows around the couple as they rise, and the smoldering alien plows toward them. Elaine pulls Jared's arm back over her shoulder. As they stagger away from the alien, the jet swoops back around, its guns firing. It gets hit and bursts into flames. The couple stares as the jet hurtles toward them in slow motion. They drop to the floor as the jet crashes onto the roof. It bounces off the ground and flies over them, then collides with the smoldering alien, exploding in a burst of roiling fire. Flaming debris rains onto the helipad, trailing black smoke. Jared jerks his head back as a piece hits him in the face. He presses one hand to his injured leg and tries to stand. Grabbing him under the arms, Elaine pulls him to his feet. In the distance, a colossal alien ship approaches. As she struggles with Jared, Elaine falls back and Jared sprawls in her lap. She holds his head. The mothership closes in and Jared lifts his gaze to his girlfriend's.
Elaine, please. You have to go.
She touches his cheek.
I'm not going anywhere without you.
He reaches up and feebly grabs her shoulder. Overhead, a glowing light at the mothership's center pulses brighter. As it glows down from the ship's center, Elaine cradles Jared's head in the crook of her arm. Sunlight glows on the horizon, and an alien ship takes out a jet in a fiery explosion. More alien crafts fill the sky as the mothership hovers over the helipad. Dirt rises from the ground around the couple, as if being sucked into the air by a vacuum. As the force becomes stronger, a haze forms around Jared and Elaine. Elaine sees Jared's eyes glaze over, then lifts her gaze to the ship. A film glazes her eyes as well, and dark veins emerge on her face. Overhead, a bluish halo pulses around the brilliant light as it glows down. Jared grabs onto Elaine, and she embraces him. As they lift into the air, they continue to clutch each other. They hold each other's arms as their feet lift until their bodies rise horizontally. Elaine leans in and kisses Jared. As veins cover their skin, Jared wraps his arm around Elaine, his lips still pressed to hers. They rise into the belly of the mothership. Wind churns underneath as it pulls away from the city, and the screen fills with light. Now in New York City, our view drifts past the Statue of Liberty. As smoke rises from the damaged cityscape, words appear. Day 3. A colossal alien ship hovers over the skyline, its beam glowing down on the buildings. Now ships hover over London as pillars of smoke rise from damaged buildings. In Hong Kong, blue light glows down on the city. In Las Vegas, an alien's light reflects off a mirrored skyscraper. Back in Los Angeles, an aerial view shows aliens flying through the city. Our view drifts past billowing smoke and high-rises to the belly of one mothership. We rise toward the glow in the ship's bowels. As we approach, brilliant light fills the screen, then suddenly fades into the center, creating a sun-like source. It blinks out. Now our view glides over the dim floor within the alien ship. Humans lie tangled amid vine-like cords, their bodies shining with dark slime. Tiny blue lights glow from strange formations in the floor that look both organically skeletal and technological. A thick tentacle with illuminated appendages grabs a prone, limp body by the head. It's a woman. It raises the victim into the air. Behind it, more snaky mechanisms extend their tentacles and pluck up humans. Amid the strewn captives, Elaine stirs. She lifts her head and sees the selected woman dangling above her. Light glows around the unknown victim's head, then briefly surges. The woman's head is suddenly gone. Her neck stump glows blue, and a tentacle discards the body. On the floor, Elaine crawls over her slimy, unconscious neighbors. A tentacle grabs a man beside her and carries him away. Crawling forward, Elaine sweeps her gaze over the humans.
Jared.
A tentacle grabs an unconscious Jared around the neck. She reaches for him as he rises into the air. Brilliant light surrounds his head. With an agonized look, Elaine watches as a tentacle drops Jared's decapitated body in a glowing blue well. Now a tentacle grabs Elaine and lifts her. A bulb with a bright light at its center, like an eyeball, lowers in front of her stomach and shines on it. It withdraws, and a giant claw-like mechanism closes around her, swallowing her whole. Our view follows her up the serpentine tube. Nearby, a tentacle glides past, clutching a glowing blue brain and brainstem. The brain turns orange in color as the tentacle inserts it into a downhanging aperture. Then, the transferred brain floats up an aqueous tunnel. It emerges with two other brains in a cavernous chamber where three alien creatures hang upside down from the ceiling like bats. A dark, lifeless brain drops from an opening on one creature's head, and a tentacle grabs one of the new glowing brains. It inserts it into the alien's head opening. The reanimated creature flips down from the ceiling and bounds away. As another recharged alien leaves its perch, the third alien's head opening parts, releasing a dead brain. A tentacle inserts Jared's orange brain, and the fleshy palps around the opening close around it. The reanimated creature drops from the ceiling, then agonizingly clutches its head. Its many eyes glow orange, while portions of its musculature glow blue. Now the claw mechanism releases Elaine in a chamber lit by orbs of orange light. As two tentacles hold down her arms, she glances at a woman beside her. An ominous alien device moves over her. The device glides toward Elaine, who struggles against the restraining tentacles. Hovering over her, it extends two limbs. In the cavernous chamber, the orange-eyed alien stretches, then appears to regain its faculties. It blinks its still orange eyes. Standing, the alien jerks its head toward the noise. Meanwhile, the device lowers over Elaine. As she writhes under it, the orange-eyed alien bursts through a wall into the chamber. It knocks the device aside, rips off one of its tentacles, and punches it down. It tears off the aqueous limb and tosses it. With wide eyes, Elaine struggles to back away as the creature crawls toward her. It crouches over her, and she stares up at it. The alien reaches out a clawed hand. As it lays its fingers across Elaine's belly, she flinches. She watches with nervous eyes as the alien's hand rests gently on her abdomen. The alien removes its hand and places it over Elaine's face. With one of its bony clawed fingers, it gently mimics tracing down the bridge of her nose. She stares at it. Her chest heaves and her chin trembles as she eyes him. Our view drifts from her disbelieving face to the creature's. It tenderly blinks its orange eyes, then turns protectively on a pair of uncoiling tentacles before it. Jared raises a fist. Cut to black. Now credits appear on a black background with thinning lines of blue light behind them. Produced and directed by the brothers Strauss. Produced by Kristen James Anderson. Produced by Liam O'Donnell. Light flashes and we see three-dimensional freeze-frame images of the alien creatures. Written by Joshua Cordes and Liam O'Donnell. Executive producers Ryan Kavanaugh, Brett Ratner, Tucker Tooley. A 3D image shows Elaine's arm extended toward Jared in alien form. Executive producers Brian Tyler, Brian Kavanaugh Jones. Line producer Tracy Landon. Co-producer, Paul Berry. Director of photography, Michael Watson. Production designer, Drew Dalton. Editor, Nicholas Wayman Harris. Costume designer, Bobby Mannix. Creatures designed by Alec Gillis and Tom Woodruff Jr. Music composed by Matthew Margeson. Casting by Liz Dean. Eric Balfour, Scotty Thompson, Brittany Daniel, Crystal Reed, Neil Hopkins, with David Zayas and Donald Faison. More credits roll. Unit Production Manager Tracy Landon, First Assistant Director Christian Anderson, Second Assistant Director M. Ryan Traylor, Second Unit Director Joshua Cordes. Cast: Eric Balfour as Jared, Scotty Thompson as Elaine, Brittany Daniel as Candace. Crystal Reed as Denise. Neil Hopkins as Ray. David Zayas as Oliver. Donald Faison as Terry. Robin Gamble as Walt. Tanya Newbold as Jen. J. Paul Bamer as Colin. Fet Mahathangdi O'Donnell as Airplane Mom, Bartender. Byron McIntyre as Limo Driver. Jackie Marin as Girl in Pool. Tony Black as Guy at Party. Eliza Till as Girl at Party. James Wong as Soldier Number 1. Eric Rondell as Soldier Number 2. Johnny DeBeer as Rocket Soldier. Lauren Marin as Abducted Girl. Matt Frells as Abducted Guy. Pam Levin as Pregnant Abductee. Stunt Coordinator Mark Norby. Elaine Stunt Double Dana Reed. Jared Stunt Double Joey Anaya. Candace Stunt Double Debbie Evans. Oliver Stunt Double Mark Norby. Jen Stunt Double Diana Lupo. Colin Stunt Double Kyle David Weishar. Lead Stunt Safety Rigger Brian Duffy. Stunt Utility, Arturo Dickey, Eric Rondell, Daryl C. Davis, Brandon Cornell, Brandon Beckman, Associate Producer Liz Dean, Production Supervisor Colin Huddock, Art Director Patricia Dalton, Second Assistant Director Mike Sukalis, Songs, Where My Money At, written by Ryan Montgomery and Nicholas Warwar, performed by Royce Da, 5'9", Supersonic Skyline, written by Marcus Harris and Baron Ryan Dollar, performed by Mr. Robotic, Kings and Queens, written by Jared Leto, performed by 30 Seconds to Mars. 1, 2, 3, written by Tony Bull and Andy Bull, performed by Buckman. New Money, written by Ryan Montgomery and Nicholas Warwar, performed by Royce Da, 5'9". Sign Language Medicine Remix, written by Ken Jordan, Scott Kirkland, Skylar Gordy, Stephen Gordy, performed by The Crystal Method, featuring LMFAO. Something to Ride To, written by Ryan Montgomery, Christopher Martin, and Fonte Coleman, performed by Royce Da, 5'9", featuring Fonte. The American Way, written by Ken Jordan and Scott Kirkland, performed by The Crystal Method. Hiding Out, written by Alexandra Sargent, performed by Tony Buchan, Andy Bull, and Ursula Rucker. Drop Skyline, written by Marcus Harris and Corey Bold, performed by Mr. Robotic. The Blues, written by Tony Buchan, Lachlan Brahe, and Grosh Pillemar, performed by Bagsman, featuring Sweet U-Turn Jenkins. Damage Control, written by Matthew Margeson, performed by Mad Sonic. Special thanks, Patty Kern. The Cove Homeowners Association, Bree Childers, Guy Botham, Ada Zelma Jewelry, Gretchen Brugman Rush, Barry Littman, Sarah Botfeld, Royce Da, 5'9", Kind Childry, Kelly Kinsey, Good Fear Inc., Glenn Rigberg, Jared Leto, American Humane monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. Copyright 2010 Black Monday Film Services, LLC. All rights reserved. Black Monday Film Services, LLC is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. The depictions of tobacco smoking contained in this film are based solely on artistic considerations and are not intended to promote tobacco consumption. The Surgeon General has determined that there are serious risks associated with smoking and secondhand smoke. The characters, entities, and incidents portrayed herein and the names used herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person or entity is entirely coincidental and unintentional. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture, including soundtrack, is prohibited and could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Universal Pictures, read by Gailey Heidemann. For more information about Motion Picture Access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org.